For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live.
The choice is between normal,
Natalie Cheel,
or crazy.
Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, indeed. We are coming at you live this morning from a different location. In my case, first time I've ever broadcasted outside of Northern Ireland. We are in Bath. This is the Better Way Conference, and we are the official sponsors here, TNT Radio, and it's all good. I'm joined in the flesh this morning by Natalie Cheel and also Dee Dee Denslow and Little Carl and Katie Hopkins and Mike Ryan and Lynn Ryan and lots of people walking past the door here who I don't even know who they are. But it's all good. We're live and we're going to try and keep you entertained and informed for at least the next 2 hours, all being well, fingers crossed. So say a prayer for us. It's a little bit chaotic here this morning. We're on little seats and they've got little wheels and there's a wooden floor and we're literally flying around. If you've ever played air hockey, you know, with that little plastic pucks on the table and you hit it with that little plastic thing and it goes bouncing all around the place. That's the way we are this morning with our chairs, but it's all good. So I'm going to pass you across to my two cohorts here, Natalie and Darren. They can maybe say hello and tell us how they're feeling this morning. Darren's feeling quite sharp this morning. I can't really speak for Natalie. Jill, guys, how are you doing today, Natalie?
I'm a little delicate again, but I'm blaming Katie for buying the extra wine.
Mm.
Nothing to do with me buying it as well.
Yeah, always blame someone else. That's Natalie Cheel. What about you, Darren? Did you sleep like a baby?
Oh, I slept very, very well. The hotel, I've never seen a bed in a hotel laid out with so many cushions. There was literally more cushions than mattress. So once I got the cushions out of the way, I slept very well after watching my rendition of Commando and a nice long walk along the canal in Bath. And actually, Bath is a very, very lovely place. And there was lots of young people. It was really, really nice. It was almost quite normal, Rick, last night, because me and you went out for a pizza.
We did.
To see all these young people out smiling in the sun. And now we had to come back to the conference.
Yeah, we're lowering the tone here. Darren and I decided to sidestep the gala dinner last night because we're kind of rough around the edges. But apparently everybody else had a really nice night. And yeah, it's all good here. Interestingly, the conference is about to start and I am leaving just before it does. I don't know if that was a subliminal message TNT are trying to send to me or the organizers. But either way, my work here is done when this session is over. So what we're going to do is, we're going to check out the live chat because I was watching and checking in as Katie was on and little Carol has actually came. Yeah, she's came all the way down from Swindon on the train. God bless her. She's giving us the thumbs up. It's only 20 minutes, she said. Well, if it was only 20 minutes, she didn't even need to take the train. Sure, she could have walked, even though she's got a stick. But she's all good. She's sitting here giving me a wee bit of a semi-dirty look right now. But imagine that. One of our lovely listeners is actually in the room with us as we speak. And oh, how we wish more of you could be here.
Come down.
But we're plotting.
Come on down.
We're plotting, guys. We're plotting a roadshow, a TNT roadshow, maybe. World tour roadshow. Call it what you like. So maybe in a hotel or a sweatshop near you, we will be broadcasting live and you will also be able to come down. What do you think about that, Natalie? Would you be up for a TNT roadshow?
I would, and we won't be charging either. You know, not like, you know, like VIP, £175 a ticket.
No
like
charge, no.
Like some lockdown files people are.
No.
Well, you know,
we might have to pay
the right way.
We might have to pay compensation, though. Some people, after they meet us, might be so traumatized they actually want compensation, which is all understandable also. But yeah, always said this, the broadcasting is free and you're welcome to listen in. And for those that either couldn't come here or didn't want to come here, the content will be made available free on their website in a few months' time, I would imagine. So you won't really miss anything per se. So that's just throwing it out there for info. DD, TNT Roadshow, where should we start?
No doubt about it. It would make sense to start in Plymouth.
Of course.
I'm there. Patrick is there. James is from there. Some of our frequent hosts, like our guests, like Danny Vampin and old Rohan, if we can drag him out of the forest, they're all there. So it seems like a good place to start for a UK tour in the Southwest. And we could maybe end up, we could take a flight over to your part of the world.
I was thinking about Dubai. Dubai's been mentioned a lot here over the last few days.
Dubai.
I'm thinking Dubai, Belfast. I'm leaning towards Dubai. Natalie, what do you think?
Maybe not. I don't know if I can behave myself enough. I might be arrested by the time I get back. So can we just keep the island idea?
Natalie will have to drag clean her burqa and be on her best behavior if we end up in Dubai. But hey, who knows? With TNT, all things are possible here. So let us know what you think about that, your thoughts and opinions on a TNT Radio live show. Would you like it to come to your town or city, or would you hate the thought of that? Let us know in the live chat, and believe me, we will be screenshotting this, and if we can, we will try and do our best to keep you beautiful people happy. So time is motoring on here. There's some interesting stories. You know, I must admit, it's been a little bit on the hoof on the last few days. We didn't know when we would be broadcasting or exactly where, but we have stuff prepared to talk about. But if you have anything you want to say, of course, you can give us a call. I think the lines are open as normal. Give the studio a call. We will patch you through, or you'll be patched through to us. You can speak to us here live or leave your thoughts, comments, and opinions in the live chat. Now, I was looking at the news last night. I don't think Darren has seen this one. I kind of gave Natalie a little bit of a preview. I saw a story last night I thought was a comedy sketch, not because it was funny per se, but I thought this cannot be real. A taxi driver in Belfast was caught on dash cam wielding a pistol whipping his passenger, threatening to blow his kneecaps off for non-payment of a debt. And then at the end of it, he told the terrified passenger, if this news of this gets out or you talk about this to anyone, I'm going to blow your effing brains out. This is all from the video that was subsequently uploaded onto Twitter and is now doing the rounds. Okay, so I don't know. Well, the dash cam footage was uploaded onto Twitter of this guy threatening a passenger. I'm not going to name the taxi company.
What did the passenger supposedly do? Is he just...
It was an alleged non-payment of debt. So you can only imagine what type of debt would warrant a gun to be wielded in your face and a death threat made, or a kneecapping threat made. I don't know. All I know is it was uploaded onto Twitter. I won't name the taxi company, but they have obviously put out a damage limitation statement to say he's been sacked, but he wasn't on duty. When he did this, he was off duty, even though he was wearing their body warmer. So obviously it's going to cause a lot of damage to them. But this is the sort of thing that we're seeing now on a daily basis on social media. A taxi driver threatening a passenger with a gun, and that makes it on the social media. And here we are talking about it today. What's the world coming to, guys?
I mean, one, you know, for a taxi driver to do that, I mean, should I say, or it might be slightly less sort of unusual coming out of your part of the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, slightly less unusual. No, not that I'm discrediting Northern Ireland. But for the whole social media aspect of it, yeah, there are more incidents of violent attacks from in a variety of different domains. It is getting clicks. You was talking about that attack. There's another one that was doing the rounds that was from Glasgow, where it was a group of men macheting.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you
that
heard
one.
The screaming.
Was it real? I hope it wasn't real.
It was real. The person real. Involved in that gang attack, probably drugs related, I would guess. Yep. Probably a debt, or maybe immigrant related, maybe. I don't know what the situation's like in Glasgow.
That was horrific.
But the screaming of the man was harrowing. There's news stories that come out later saying that he was absolutely fighting for his life. They arrested one people. But there were calls to pull the tweet down because of it. It was so horrific, so violent. Mm-hmm. Even though you're not really seeing it, you're seeing...
Thank God we didn't see it.
Is that with regards to free speech? Mm-hmm. Where do we draw the limit, that line there?
Nat, what do we do? What do we do about this?
I've been thinking this about a lot. Like, people want to use it as evidence a lot now. It's like, great, I've got this phone. If something goes wrong, let me phone it. There's evidence. But it's almost doing the opposite. It's encouraging more violence. Rather than it being used as evidence, it's gone the whole other way. And now people are almost committing a crime in order to show the evidence, if you like. And I think it's in a really bad time. Like, you know, we're moving forward. I can just see it getting worse and worse and worse.
It's a bit like, you remember the happy slapping phrase?
Yeah.
You know, where people used to just walk
You've
up to
been
random.
Tangoed.
And, yeah,
do you remember?
You've been tangoed, yeah.
And get it on camera, you know, and that was when, you know, that one 10-second bit of film would have been about, you know, 1 gigabyte of memory. But I can remember that phrase, and all it did was encourage more people to go out and randomly attack people. random individuals on the street.
Well, here's the thing. We've talked about this on our show. Freedom of speech, yes. If you want to post that video up, then if you really must do it, then you really must do it. But there has to be some kind of a click through there to say, at least it's not enough to say graphic content, warning, viewer discretion, and then the video auto plays in the background. So the screams that you're talking about, you can't unhear them. I've seen videos the last few days. I never want to see anything like it again because they literally were on my feed. Again, I didn't look for them and they were auto-playing. So I think there should be a warning to say, okay, it's there. If you want to see it, you're a grown adult, I've posted it up, click the button and go through. I think that should be more heavily enforced on Twitter, but at the minute it's not.
And there's also a craze at the moment with teenagers and like gangs. And I don't mean like the serious gangs, even within schools. It's fashionable now to go beat someone up and film it. And you see it all over Snapchat. I've literally been sent a video this week of a friend's son who's been beaten up in that manner. And then it was put all over Snapchat. That's becoming normalized. That's a fashion now. When you look back and think, you know, when I was at school, we didn't have that technology. We didn't have that evidence to put out.
Well, that level of violence. I mean, like, I went there rough.
Social media apparatus to sort of encourage it and have the platform for that sort of information to be disseminated in a wide way. You mentioned about a warning sign. Yeah, should be a warning sign or stuff like that. I don't want to open my Twitter in the morning, which I do, and the first thing that I see is extreme acts of violence. But I opened my Twitter this morning. There was a video posted that had a big warning sign on it saying this had limited reach, and you had to click through to go and watch it. And what was the video? What is a Woman by Matt Walsh. So that gets a warning sign. Oh, this has really controversial, upsetting aspects of information.
Hateful content. It was labeled as hateful content.
But it's all right to show videos of a gang macheteing some young lad half to death. I mean, that lad may even be dead now.
Yeah. And at the pictures as well of the gender mutilation surgery, none of those had a sensitive content on. And they were just coming up all the time, and it was really distressing. Some of those, I couldn't get that image out of my head. Those pictures, there's that particular one with the woman with the young girl, and her whole leg has been mutilated, and then like a fake penis has been put. Yeah. Those pictures are they're
distressed. Them every morning.
Absolutely. And there's no warning. Mm-hmm. They're just, you're literally going through your timeline. And so it's not just us that's seeing those. Those are kids. Those are 12-year-old kids seeing exactly the same as what we are. How's that going to affect their mental health moving forward?
And when you see it, listen, this is the key. You can't unsee it. So a lot of this stuff, that's why I believe, and I've seen some horrific things in my life, worse than anything that's ever been posted on Twitter, but I don't want to relive the experience, or I don't want to be triggered to remember that said experience. So yes, there has to be a balancing act. Interestingly enough, Dan, you bring up about the What is a Woman documentary. There was a lot of kickback yesterday on social media against Twitter, where they said, okay, if we can't talk about this, and it was labeled as hate speech or a hateful content, retweeting was disabled on it. And the point was made, well, if this is a so-called bastion of free speech, why is this happening now? Musk has subsequently came out and said, this shouldn't have happened. The person who's in charge of their censorship allegedly has quit the country. But he would have known, and this is aside from who he is as a person, he would have known that this was on the horizon. He would have known that this would have been going to Twitter, and at least he could have had he's the boss. Like, Mike's the boss here. If he nudges me and he says, hey, we'll want to talk about this tomorrow morning, then we're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. So Musk could have said, listen, there's a documentary coming out tomorrow from Matt Walsh, and it's basically going to be a case of, we're going to broadcast it, and you're not going to be doing any nonsense with it. But that didn't actually happen, and it went ahead, and now it's backpedaling and apologies. Why was something like that cut when Natalie, even as Darren said there, you can machete someone to death and there doesn't seem to be an issue with it?
I think with regards to Twitter, there are still, and it's not a defense. Mm-hmm. There are still ghosts in the machine. Mm. There are still problems with the algorithms. There are still problems with staff members, existing staff members within Twitter. What is a Woman documentary that I mentioned that had been, it's the most heavily censored video that I've come across since Elon Musk has taken over. He's actually replied himself to this tweet. yet that censorship label is still up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lots of problems with social media. They seem to be censoring the wrong content for the wrong reasons.
I was going to say, in the online chat, Blogwin says, so you can see snuff videos on Twitter, but you can't call Dylan Mulvaney a man.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Well, you can do that now. You can do that now.
That's because he's a Mormon now, isn't it? He came out as
he wasn't a Mormon. He got famous for being in the Book of Mormon.
Oh my goodness.
When COVID happened, he was a gay actor on the Book of Mormon.
But the Mulvaney thing stands, though. And this business about snuff movies, for any of you younger people out there, a snuff movie back in the day was an actual video of an actual killing on camera. Now, if you wanted to get a video like that, you had to go to the black market. You had to go to underground things. It was nigh on impossible to see any type
Nicolas
of content.
Page movie about it.
Oh,
remember
eight millimeters. Right? That was machine.
Now, that's like, 35 years ago. But now, we don't need 8mm in a Hollywood movie. You can literally go into any social media platform and watch people being shot to death. Last night, somebody had put up an anti-LGBTQ post about a gay man being stoned to death in Pakistan. It's on Twitter today. There's no community notes. There's no censorship. This is a man being stoned to death by a rabid mob of anti-gay people. So that can go on, but a documentary about What is a woman is offensive.
I mean,
should
the fact
not
that
be...
they've even made a documentary about what is a woman is insane enough. Then they censor it.
And also, I'm sure you both find sometimes you go to tweet and I've literally just put, are you joking? You're being mad. Mm-hmm. And it says, are you sure you want to send this tweet? Some
replies,
people will...
only replies and it does that,
But even so, you know, they're worried about one reply, yet we're seeing these videos.
You're calling someone mad?
Yeah. But the absurdity, right? In fact, I'll tell you what we'll do. I have to keep a wee eye on the time here because we could get very carried away. We've got to take a little quick break. But when we come back, I want to go back to this story that surfaced about this taxi driver and just actually read you some of the transcripts, because when I saw it, I thought it was a joke. And when I was trying to talk to Natalie about it this morning, she said, is that actually real? It is. It's legit. And that's the sort of thing we're being fed now in the mornings. This is our diet that we're getting from various platforms. It's not the greatest way to start the day, but what are you going to do about it? We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay tuned.
TNT Radio's State of the Nation.
The headlines today are just full of crime and shootings. I mean, we had this wild footage of a mob of about 40 teenagers jumping three Marines in California, San Clemente Beach, just savagely beating them, and they were relaxing on the beach. Then we had a lot of kids involved. 9 people were shot in Hollywood, Florida. And then on top of it, we had a disgruntled bus passenger talking about North Carolina, I believe, who didn't like the bus stop or something. He wanted to get off early and started shooting at the bus driver. And I could go on and on and on with these horrible shooting headlines.
Notice how they'll take anything like these ones, you know, sort of garden variety violence incidents, and try to get everybody to focus on those. But they'll totally ignore what happens in places like Chicago every weekend. And let's all not forget that Chicago is the poster child for what progressives and Democrats would like to see for the rest of the country. So they ignore that. Like, you see the results of disarming your citizens in Chicago there. Only criminals have guns at that point.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Lorry from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
There's an interesting term that's used a lot now. It's called allegedly, and people use it to, I don't know, exempt themselves from prosecution when they're making scandalous comments about people. But I'm seeing it more and more now that there's actually video footage, for example, of assaults. So, for example, man punches man and knocks his teeth out. The footage will come up and say there has been an alleged assault. Well, unless it's a different video of a different pair of people, it looks like the same assault to me. So this video that's coming up here about this...
And they're saying allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Allegedly. So there has been an alleged incident, even though the dash cam footage is all over Twitter, of a 48-year-old man with a suspected firearm. He's been arrested on suspicion of a number of offences, including possession of a firearm or imitation firearm, and he remains in custody at this time. So the taxi company that he worked for has said, we've been made aware of dash cam footage. Now, the thing is, too, is there not somebody monitoring their dash cam footage? If we have dash cam footage here at TNT, TNT should be able to see it. They shouldn't have our listeners saying, have you checked it out last night about A, B, C, and D? So what's that you've got?
I've got a story here about Amazon Ring. The doorbell, Right. They're monitoring those. They're monitoring the footage. If you got one of them, they're monitoring the footage.
I never wanted a Ring doorbell for that reason. Yeah. I always had, how much data are they sharing? And
exactly.
Then... And keeping face, it on file.
And the faces of who's coming and going to your house.
So the taxi drivers are probably no different at all.
this story here. So I'm gonna quote without using the full F words here. So the video shows the taxi driver appears what appears to be a firearm in the face of a passenger. A passenger in the back seat looks on as the driver aggressively gesticulates towards the shocked man, and he says, "You are effing lucky. I'm not effing taking your knees out down this effing car park, son. I'm effing telling you now because that's the effing mood I'm in, believe me. Now I'm telling you, see what happens in this car? See if I hear anybody effing talking about it, mate. I will take your effing head off." So that's quote from the dash cam footage.
And allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Maybe he's just having a bad day.
To me, it sounds like a Guy Ritchie movie. I said that earlier. Literally, this sounds like something out of Lock, Stock, gone wrong. Video put up. I'm almost wondering if we're going to see it soon on some...
Well, the thing is, I have to get a taxi. I have a taxi booked for 12:15 to take me to the airport. What if I get this driver? What if he's been booted out of Northern Ireland and he's working for this new taxi firm in Bath? What if it's me and he recognizes me and saying, "Here, son, I heard you on TNT radio this morning talking..."
Sliding
about
me off. Yeah, I was having a bad day.
So whoever my taxi driver is, I'm going to make sure the dash cam footage is on. I might even live stream my journey back to the airport just to make sure.
Or just make sure you pay your fare.
Just make sure I pay my fare. Well, yeah. And I've been quoted 50 quid. I've been quoted 50 quid, but I'm going to be bringing 60 quid with me just in case. I might even leave him a tip.
Yeah.
Whether he wants.
Please don't shoot me.
Yeah, but you brought up an important point there. You said, "Is this not the sort of thing that people in Northern Ireland were used to?" Yeah, we had this for 30-odd years during the Troubles. But here's the thing: England, Scotland, Wales, wherever the Republic of Ireland, anywhere at all now, there are marauding gangs of knife wielding, gun wielding, golf club wielding lunatics, and they will take your hand off, bash your brains out, cut your throat, stab you in the kidneys. Not a problem at all. It doesn't have to be gun violence now, because if they want to take you out, Darren, they're going to take you out. What's it like in for balance here? Darren was talking a little bit about Plymouth. I talked a little bit about Northern Ireland. Reading, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it down there, or how good is it down there?
I would say it's definitely got a lot worse, and I think the real issue at the moment is teenagers with knives. So obviously we're close to London, Reading is, and we're seeing that more now. And I'm trying to talk to teenagers about it. Do you know what they say every time? I have to hold one because everybody else has got one. There's this mentality that they have no choice and they have to carry it for self-defense, because otherwise they'd be the only one that's not. So how do you change that? Yeah. How do you get the teenagers to be the first one to not carry? They almost said that, you know, that they've got no choice in the matter. I don't know how the solution to that problem.
What do you think, DD?
I mean,
fight fire with fire, a legitimate tactic. Let's face it, if you think you're going to be attacked by a gang with a knife, maybe to carry a blade will help you, or you could get disarmed. Somebody without a blade could take the knife off you that knows how to fight.
and end up using it on you. It's a lose-lose situation no matter what, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, use it or lose it was always the argument, but you can understand how a teenager, a young lad who's living in a sort of gang-type culture on an estate might want to have himself armed to defend himself. I carry something small with me at all times that I am able to defend myself with.
It's just a pen knife.
You know, but it's still something that I've got in my pocket. And in Plymouth, it was always kept indoors. There's never really been a gang culture down in Plymouth. But I see that changing now as we've got new arrivals coming into the city. There is a more likely threat on the streets. Sex crimes and knife crimes are increasing in my city. And people will respond in like by carrying a penknife or carrying something a bit more serious with them to defend themselves.
I just wanted to add that it isn't just gangs. These teenagers aren't in gangs, the one that I'm talking about. People are carrying knives out of gangs.
Yeah, yeah.
They are literally doing it to say, everywhere I go, if I go to this party, most people are going to be carrying a knife. They're not necessarily part of a gang. That is the culture now we're growing up in. So it's not
the gangs and the solo riders are all packing at the minute. Uh-huh. And a lot of them aren't afraid to use it. And listen, they don't understand. Sometimes, you think you have to be stabbed in the neck, you have your throat cut, or take one in the heart or ribs. No, if you stab someone in the armpit, or you stab someone in the leg, that can cause somebody to bleed out. So basically, be under no illusion. Knife crime is something serious. You don't have to be carrying a machete. You don't have to be carrying some Rambo knife with a serrated edge. Any kind of bladed weapon that enters, pierces your skin, and severs an artery in your leg, in your wrist, in your arm, in your armpit, whatever, could cause somebody to bleed out really quickly. And before you know it, somebody's got a murder charge on their hands. Somebody else has lost a son or a daughter, and lives are in chaos. So knife crime, just say no. Don't carry a blade. If you think you have to, do it, but make sure you know how to use it, and make sure that if you do use it, you're prepared to pay the consequences if you maybe end up killing someone and it goes to court and you're found guilty. But of course, we're all adults here, and we can all make up our own minds. We've got to take a quick news break here. We're at the half hour mark, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Deadline. TNT Radio News.
Big news.
Yeah!
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Serious concerns are growing over the health of America's aging president after the 80-year-old took a nasty fall at an Air Force graduation ceremony in Colorado. Poland is refusing to send any of its F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine because it barely has enough for itself. And it's been revealed the Netherlands is looking to buy almost 100 more Leopard tanks as well as Patriot missiles to send to Ukraine.
Our lines are now open. Call Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, we're back on air here. So we're actually, sadly, looking at some horrible little video clips during the little break. But to highlight a point, Darren brought something up earlier. Natalie's just showed us a video here. Darren said, there's an escalation at school. When I went to school, there was lots of fights. Lots of people used to get in fights, playground fights, or you waited until dinner time, a circle formed. A couple of guys or a couple of girls would be at it, a few punches in the face, a busted lip, and then all of a sudden it was over. Everybody got on together. Doesn't happen anymore now. It's very rare that you would see a one-on-one fight, and it's very rare that it would stop if someone takes a slap to the face. It seems to be they go hell for leather. It's almost like an attempted murder thing, Natalie. That video that you showed me, I mean, it just looked barbaric. I was going to say they're just like a pack of animals, but packs of animals don't do that to each other, do they?
Like you said, when I used to be at school, do you remember? Fight, when one occurred. And it was one-on-one and we were all shouting fight. Gone are those days. Like I just showed you, one person attacked him and then they all ran in, everyone who was there, to come and give him a kicking. And it's not necessarily a gang. They didn't go there to do that. That wasn't them organising a gang violence. It's just that's how it happens now, like you said. It's
pylons, pylons and pylons, yeah. What do you think about that, Didi?
We used to have rules. And then there were rules between men. You know, you'd go outside, you'd resolve a problem. It might involve fisticuffs, one man or one kid. And it's applied to boys as well, because they would have been brought up by their fathers with these rules. And then once one had victored and was able to stand over and lord over the other, it was all over. Animals operate in a very similar way in the animal kingdom. My cat's always getting into fights. He either wins or he doesn't. If he wins, the other cat will submit and succeed and secede. And that would be the end of that conflict. And that is the way that men and boys used to resolve their problems. And now it seems very different, where everybody just wants to jump in and
turn that down.
I always understood that in a fight, you don't kick a man when he's down. And now you see that's all you see, people kicking a man when he's down.
And not even kicks, but it's head stomps now. And people don't understand. A lot of these attacks that you see, one of the reasons why I think that they're not kept in check is because if that, for example, in the horrific attack that you've just showed us goes to court, they'll be charged with aggravated assault, maybe grievous bodily harm. That's attempted murder, as far as I'm concerned. And everybody that was involved in that, or everybody that was participating in that, should face a charge of attempted murder, because that's, in my opinion, when somebody's on the ground and you're kicking them in the head and they're in the fetal position in the back of the head, those are potentially killer blows.
Do you know what also worries me, Rick? Like I showed you that, nobody comes to anyone's defense anymore. The reaction is to film, not to help people. And we see that everywhere, those videos on the subway of people where you've got a drunk harassing someone. People just get their phones out and film it rather than actually go and help the person. And you saw the same there. Where did our mentality change over the last couple of years that you don't go and help someone? You think, oh, film as evidence is more important than helping.
The thing about this is, the quandary waiting in, right? The quandary about waiting in is this. Depending on where you live, you can be applauded for being a vigilante, okay? So you can be applauded for being a vigilante, or you can go to prison for being a vigilante. So there's almost like this fear that already kicks in. So let's say I was walking past that scene, me, all right? If it was a one-on-one, I would have no problem with turning into somebody there. We saw footage the other day of three Marines, the toughest, hardest trained killers, getting the crap kicked out of them on a beach in Florida by 40 youths because they complained about them letting off fireworks. Now, if somebody could handle themselves, you would think it was three Marines. But when they're outnumbered like that, even they don't have a chance. They were beaten to a pulp. So you walk by that alone. I would say if you join in, you're going to get stabbed or stomped. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If you walk by that with a group of 40 of your buddies and you all decide, let's deal with these kids, then you're going to disperse the problem. The problem is, Natalie, they know that if they operate in a gang in the numbers, they have that intimidation factor, and they know the people psychologically won't get involved. And, you've never been to prison, but if you ain't going to any institutions in America, the first thing you will do if you get locked up, as they'll say, Natalie, you want to join our gang? Now you'd say, well, no, I'm not a fascist, white supremacist. Well, if you don't join our gang, then you're going to be preyed on by every other gang. So the Mexicans have a gang.
I was just about to say, you can't believe everything you see on TV, but every single prison fiction you watch will have the same
thing.
I'm telling you, join someone.
I'm telling you, I've been in different prisons in different parts of the world, and if you don't join a gang, you're meat. You are prey. So whether you like it or not, you could go in as a shoplifter. You'll then become gang affiliated, and you'll probably have to shank someone, or you'll get shanked yourself. So you'll end up as an assaulter, or maybe worse, a murderer. So unless people adopt, I'm sorry to say this, but the gang is taking over society. The gang is taking over society. And unless there's a counter to that, and it's not going to come from politicians, and it's not going to come from disgust on air, unless people rise up in communities and form their own groups, I'm not going to say gangs, groups, to deal with antisocial issues, and I want to say non-violently, of course, non-violently, if it's possible, we're going to just see this happening more and more.
Isn't this going parallel with COVID and following the crowd? Isn't that what's happening again? They don't want to stand up to the masses. It's easier to follow the herd. So when they see something going wrong, they'll just leave it because it's easier just to walk on by and carrying on following.
And maybe safer. It might be safer. And not only that, we see time and time again. Daniel Petty comes to mind, the guy who apprehended and then put in a recovery position somebody who had lost their mind on a train, the subway in America. He was made out to be that perpetrator, the guy who the victim, the perpetrator got made out to be the victim. And the person who ended this sort of mini crisis on the train, he was looking at a prison sentence.
But that happened in New York. Yeah. And again, my point is, if that had happened in Florida or Texas under a different governor or with a different district attorney, it may not have even got to court. Yeah. And that's another thing.
And the bad guy might have got shot.
Correct. And in which case it would have been, well, he's a career criminal. He's tried to push people onto the tracks in the past. He's tried to kidnap people. He had lost his mind. And this man was simply dealing with him. And by the way, when he did choke him out, he didn't kill him because he then moved him into the recovery position and he was still alive. We don't know the details, but the point is that unless you know where you stand in one particular jurisdiction by doing the right thing and doing what's right to help someone, you could end up being jailed yourself. So not only do you have to worry about the possibility of getting stabbed, but you've also got to worry about the possibility of getting jumped. A little bit of irony here, by the way, about prison gang culture. This is the way they work also. I watched a good documentary on this the other night. So all races will get together in amongst themselves in prison. But if a correctional officer assaults anybody, they will all band together to attack the correctional officers. So there's a strange code of conduct in there. And to be honest with you, I'm not saying we need gang culture and gang code of conduct in the street, or maybe we do. I'm not advocating it. But what I'm saying is it's the only language that these people understand, because nicey-nicey doesn't seem to work. And unless it's checked, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, which it is.
Yeah, and gang culture seems to be growing. It seems to be a trend that's developing in our country.
We formed one today.
Yeah.
TNT gang.
We've got the TNT gang, but we're not armed.
Darren and his little Stanley knife.
Oh, I got my little Swiss Army.
It's only half an inch. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's a couple of inches.
But we're gonna take a little break while we do a little technical hookery pokery here. So if you can, Murray, chuck us to a little ad break, and we shall be back when we're ready to go again on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
New York City's been overrun with illegals, and Mayor Eric Adams is not pleased. Most of them have come from the great state of Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott has made sure that those crossing the border into his state are sent off to welcoming cities of sanctuary, like New York City. This has led to Adams accusing Abbott of racism, because he said sanctuary cities have black mayors. Okay. And Adams even started doing what he blasted the Texas governor for doing, sending illegals to other cities in New York State. But these are non-sanctuary cities who don't want them there, and lawsuits have been filed against Adams' moves. Adams has also decided to use prisons that have been closed down, like the infamous Rikers Island, and public school gymnasiums to house illegals, the latter causing well-deserved outrage from parents of students and others. He's considered closing off streets to house them. And now the mayor's asking houses of worship to take in these people, 15 or so, and the city will cough up $30,000 per month for their efforts. Folks, I'm telling you, this may be happening in New York City now, but just wait. It'll be coming to your area before you know it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The extensive reach of big tech companies, combined with government's penchant for digital identity, vaccine passports, and digital currencies, has given rise to concerns that social credit systems will soon be coming to the West. MasterCard has developed a carbon calculator that can inform consumers of their carbon footprint, allowing them to make more mindful spending decisions. Alibaba Holdings president J. Michael Evans claims that the company is creating an app to track an individual user's carbon footprint from their traveling and eating choices on their platform. Writer Kit Knightley notes this Chinese company is the second largest e-commerce company in the world after Amazon, and through subsidiaries, runs the largest domain name market, email provider, and cloud storage services in China, and the largest payment platform in the world. They also supply online pharmacy services, provide computer technology to hospitals, and own the biggest e-map navigation company in China. Knightley questions if Alibaba would soon reward other correct choices that had nothing to do with the environment and punish incorrect choices. And of course, how far behind would Google, Amazon, and Apple be?
The conversation continues with Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel on today's News Talk.
Okay.
TNT Radio.
Okay, we are back live. We are in Bath as per right now at the Better Way Conference, which is about to kick off, I think, in about half an hour or so. They had their dinner last night. Me and Dee Dee decided to go for a pizza instead, and it was bloody lovely, if you ask me. And we had a little stroll around Bath, and we had an early night because we're not just as rock and roll as we used to be, but it's all good. Thanks to everyone for tuning in, and also little Carl, who's made the journey down from Swindon this morning. She's currently sitting having a chat with Mrs. Mike Ryan, Lynn Ryan, who it's lovely to meet as well, by the way. It's good to see the people that you've been working with for the last year or more. A lot of people wandering about outside. Old Patrick Henningsen shuffling around out there. There's a few names running around, but I'm not interested in them. I'm interested in the two buds sitting beside me and you lovely people that are listening in today. So we have another story here actually from Ireland, and there's a little bit of how would you say real estate juggling going on at the moment. So landlords are realizing that if they sell their properties or allow their properties to be used as houses of multiple occupation to put refugees or alleged refugees or asylum seekers into, it's a hell of a lot more profitable for them to do that than it is to put normal tenants in there. The government will guarantee their income. The government will guarantee their tenancy. The government will guarantee that any damages that are done to the property will be taken care of. So everybody's a winner in the landlord's eyes. Now, nursing homes, you would have thought, would have been sacred. You know, they've got Granny in there. And of course, we've been working hard for the last 2 years to protect Granny. What about, by the way, on an aside, what about Granda?
They never cared about Grandad. It was only ever Granny.
Did you ever hear Granda being mentioned? Did you ever hear, Darren, anyone saying, let's protect Grandad? Wasn't it always Granny, or am I just thinking that?
During the
period? All the propaganda.
No, they never said, let's protect Grandad.
Never.
That's because they're men, and men are the bottom of the pyramid hierarchy.
Men aren't important anymore.
Men aren't.
And it sounds like, I don't think old people in general, I don't think they really meant it when they said, you know, you got to protect grandma, because they're planning to kick them all out and replace them with people from Africa.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the way that it's working at the minute.
After all the effort we put in to protect grandma, you're just going to kick them on the streets and put Africans in the homes instead.
Well, it says here, okay, there's a ban on use of nursing homes to house refugees lifting, but operators are expected to face a 2-year wait to exit the market. So basically, the way that this is working is the government is lifting the ban on private nursing home becoming refugee centers. So this was never allowed up until this time because of reasons that Darren has just said. Your elderly parents are in there. Maybe you can't look after them. Maybe they're 90. Maybe they've got Alzheimer's. Maybe they can't walk. Maybe they need 24/7 care. So you put them into a home if you can't look after them yourself. And you think, well, at least they're being looked after, at least they're being taken care of, and at least it's permanent. No, not anymore. The Minister for Older People. Now, there's another
Minister for Older
Minister
People.
For older
sounds
people.
Like they're in 1984.
Yeah, it is.
Look, the Minister for Older People, Mary Butler, introduced the ban late last year amid fears that nursing homes were closing down with a view to converting their properties into accommodation. Check this, for refugees fleeing war zones. Yeah, war zones like Albania and Georgia, where there is no war. But yeah, that was the concern. So last year, politician has concern alert. Fast forward to 6 months later, now they're going to bring in this legislation that will allow these homes to be put up for sale. However, there's a 6-month notice of the decision and an 18-month cooling off period to give residents and staff time to make alternative arrangements. So not only does Granny and Granda, or probably just Granny, get kicked out onto the street, but what about the staff that work in these nursing homes? They have to basically put on notice, Darren, time for you to start looking for a new job, because 18 months from now, this is going to be re-imaged and they're going to be refugees in here, and the Granny's gone, you're gone, no job for you, so sort yourself out with your rent and your accommodation. What do you think about that?
The whole thing is absolutely crazy. Like, they're not even building new nursing homes.
Correct.
A lot of them are not are so ill, they need proper caring. That's why they're in the home in the first place. So they're not even able to go back to the family because of the care needs, and that the people are going out working. So what's going to happen to them? Is this another kind of Midazolam?
Oh, wow. Wow, what story will there be forward? Any old people in the homes in 2 years' time? Is something that's going to happen between now and then? They're going to go, look at all these care homes. They're empty. Oh, what happened? Oh, we had another pandemic. Yeah. Oh, Matt, we put Matt Hancock back in charge of health again.
Well, the thing about it is, right, let's be honest.
There's no old people.
You wouldn't want Matt Hancock in charge of your care home, would you?
The first people that were targeted for jabs were the old and the vulnerable. Let's get the old and the vulnerable taken care of. And when they say we need to take care of the old and the vulnerable, there's a little slang. The mafia had said, we have a little problem. We need to take care of it. That wasn't slang for a sit-down diplomatic decision. Someone had to disappear. So Darren makes a good point. Maybe these people won't even be alive in 18 to 24 months. But if they do somehow survive, the bottom line is they're going to be booted from the residential care. The children or grandchildren will have to find alternative accommodation, and the workers will have to find a new job. And just to give you an idea, a significant number of nursing homes have given notice of their intention to close over the past 2 years, and the government has feared a trend emerging in the industry. Are they not just enabling this now?
Surely there's a massive financial incentive for them to do that, because you wouldn't choose to do that otherwise. They must be a bit like the GPs getting more money for giving each vaccine out, surely. Mm-hmm. Each granny you've managed to get out of the care home, you'll get an extra payment, what's happening?
Each one that you get rid of. And then there's the other side of it is the immigration side. You know, in 2 years' time, how many more immigrants are going to be coming into our countries? Is it going to be so many that we can't use hotels all used up? Empty office blocks all used up. Well, we filled all the schools up. Now we're filling up the old age care homes that we've emptied beforehand because we have no place. Otherwise, it's going to be on our streets. And we've seen the tent cities in Dublin. There's only so many hotel rooms before they're maxed out. And so, you know, the thought that they're even eyeing up or considering places where we're giving elderly care, people who've worked all their lives, paid their taxes all their life, and now are staying somewhere to be cared in their end of life years, and they're being, metaphorically kicked on the streets with the great replacement coming in and taking their beds. It's a doubly worrying situation, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, Mark Delaney says in the chat, they don't care about the elderly. They are spent tax slaves, worthless.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it looks
like,
doesn't it?
They no longer contribute. They're just a burden.
They are. And let's bear in mind as well, and I'll try and put myself into the position of the landlord here. If you're not a particularly humane type of individual and you're just driven by profit, if I have a contract with Natalie and she says, Rick, you may have occupancy and I'm going to give you 50 quid a night per room, I'll go, okay. DD comes along the next day and he says, I'll guarantee occupancy and I'll give you twice as much money, or you can sell it to me for twice the market value. The greedy person in all of us will be tempted by it. I don't doubt that for a minute. But those money that talks. Have a little bit of integrity and those that have a little bit of compassion for humans will say, you know what? I don't need that extra money, quite frankly. I am making ends meet as it is, but they're preying on people's greed, Natalie, and it's working a treat. They're going to try it with farmers buying off their farms. And even if they don't want it, they're going to say, oh, we'll give you a premium to make up for your lost income. It's all about the dollar, the printed dollar or the printed pound. It's all just pound
in the sky.
And I
think they also do it by offering them an amount of money, but they put like a deadline on it. So they say, you know, you go do this and you will give you so much money, but if you don't take us up on this offer by this time, the offer will be dropped. And I think that's also why people sometimes are almost frightened into doing it there and then, because, you know, like you say with the farms, if they don't take that money then, and that suddenly they're just going to take the farms anyway without any payment. So I think people get scared of losing money altogether.
There are also external economic pressures on these businesses. You know, they may be really, really, really struggling to keep the upkeep of these properties, to look after their residents. The economic pressures aren't going away. Interest rates have just gone up. So that's mortgages and rates and loans and all of these financial burdens. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, you no longer have to look after these old people. We're going to pay twice what your property is worth. And all you've got to do
is sign on the dotted line. And don't worry about evicting the residents. Don't worry about booting people out. We'll take care of the dirty work. We'll take care of putting new people in there. You just take your money, lodge it in the bank, and then you can go on a holiday. You can buy yourself something small. It's a little holiday let in France. You just ride off into the sunset. It has to be an attractive proposition or these people would not be taking it up. Speaking of destitution, by the way, and I don't want to mention this little
Toreg Schofield, but and it's nothing to do with him as such. No, I'm not giving him any oxygen.
It's a good little place for me to go in. Away from the death and destruction of the rest of the world.
Well, that's not the place you want to go, is into Philip Schofield, if you understand me.
I was going to say one thing. They're discussing, we could come on the online chat, they're discussing homeschooling, and we've not done that before, like the pros and cons. So we maybe can do that in the second hour.
We'll touch on the homeschooling aspect of things. Avid TNT listeners, it's something that we bring up quite a lot. Sarah Plumley, for example, and a few other guests that we would have on frequently, we do. But we'll touch on it probably in the second hour of the show. But we're talking about people getting it tight. We're talking about people living in a tight economic position. Old Schofield's trying to bring out the crocodile tears at the minute, saying he has lost everything. He's lost everything in the wake of his affair with a younger male colleague, and told of a catastrophic effect on his mind as he gave his first interview since the news broke, and just basically said, I've lost everything. Now, we were in Bath yesterday. We were walking around. A lot of people were tourists here, but there's a lot of people suffering as well. They're living on the streets. Those people have lost everything, or at least they've lost their families, they've lost their homes, maybe their health, their minds, the lot. For somebody to come out after being sacked for what he did and trying to turn it around to say, I'm the victim, I've lost my best friend, I've lost everything, with this fake expression on, is that not just a gaslight? Is it not just a gaslight fest whenever these people open their minds?
It's literally a classic example of a narcissist. When you get caught out, you turn it round on other people, you don't take responsibility for your own actions. Literally, if you want to watch the interview, it is classic narcissism 101.
It got deleted off. The one I saw yesterday got deleted. We've got to remember Schofield and that blonde, Holly Willoughby spent 3 years gaslighting and terrorizing an unsuspecting public with regards to COVID, lockdowns, restrictions. Oh, make sure you protect granny. Oh, make sure you take your kids out of school. Wear a mask. Get yourself 7 jabs. Yeah, the harm that they have done. And, I can speak for myself. I lost everything. I lost everything throughout the COVID period. Only now, thanks to TNT Radio, I'm starting to recover what is lost.
So for him to lose everything,
including his mind, because people didn't just lose.
That's what him and that.
Hugging women in plastic.
Yeah. People didn't just lose their friends, their family, their wealth, their jobs, whatever it might have been that they lost. People lost their minds. I saw a big butch guy walk into the little supermarket down there with a mask on. He was talking about the occasional mask wearer that still exists. Their minds have been broken, and they were broken by people like Philip Schofield. So for him to come out and whinge because he's a groomer and he's been caught, and there may be more people coming out of the woodwork, which is why there's such a clamor around it, as well as it being a distraction from all the people that are dying from vaccines that were probably allowed into people's bodies because of the word of Philip Schofield. This is karma, my friend. Karma coming for him, and it will come for everybody.
I think, unfortunately, I tweet about this. I think because there is no police investigation at all, and there's not even a talk about it, there's almost a normalizing of this behavior. Like we talk about the minor attractive people, the normalizing and desensitizing of this kind of grooming type behavior, because by not addressing it in the news, by not saying there needs to be investigation or police involved, you are almost allowing it to a degree, aren't you?
Yeah. And let's face it, there will be legions. This guy has legions of followers that have heard the news. They don't want to believe it's true, but he's kind of come out with a half-assed apology now. And then you'll get the old, everybody deserves a second chance. No. Everybody makes mistakes. We need
pedos
to give him a break.
Don't deserve a second chance.
No, they don't. And here's the thing. I don't know the exact background of the story, but the best case scenario is he met this boy when he was 15. I've seen other stories that he was pictured with him when he was 10 years of age. I don't know, but either way, whether it be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15, he was underage when he started his
texting, even if he says they're friends,
yeah.
It's not appropriate for a 50 year old man to have a friendship with a boy under 60.
Correct.
You know, like you said, Rick, you're coming up for 50. If you start texting my son every day, I'm
like,
sorry, it's not appropriate.
What the hell's going on here? And that's the point. The numbers don't actually matter. The numbers don't actually matter because the bottom line is, do you break the law or you're not? They're like speeding, for example, is an absolute offense, right? So if you're caught doing 31 miles an hour in a 30 zone, you can say, but I'm only 1 mile an hour over the limit. According to the law, which is absolute, you've broke the law. If you do 50 miles an hour, you've still broke the law. So there's no bargaining with this. You're either above or below the age of consent on that chair.
But what concerns me, which is absolutely true, why has there been no investigation? If we've seen enough evidence online that there's clear there is grooming behavior there, why has there been no police involvement? And as a conspiracy theory, then you say there's more to that story. At the very least, to assure the general public, shouldn't there be a police investigation? Even if they said, actually, we've looked at it and we can see no behavior before 16. Wouldn't you think that would be a good thing to come out and do? But almost by not doing it, they're saying, yes, all right, grooming's all right. It was consensual, even if it was slightly younger.
Do you know what? After this happened, and I'm not giving it too much oxygen, and there's a lot of people have crawled out from the woodwork saying, oh, we knew about this for a while. And I think Eamon Holmes was one person. He was sacked and his wife for talking out about whatever. But now he's coming out and saying, I'm going to spill the beans. But I would say Schofield has a lot of beans to spill as well. And if he gets pushed into such a corner that he's been absolutely destroyed, what's to say that he won't start tipping the dirt?
I believe that Schofield has dirt on all of the other ITV producers, and that's why he's not having a police investigation.
Correct.
He's got too much dirt on anyone else, and that's why they're allowing the behaviour. I mean, someone in the chat said, don't give him any airtime. We're not about actually talking about Schofield. We're talking about it as in the bigger picture.
Correct.
And why it's happening, why it's in the news, why they're trying to normalise it, and why Schofield is basically where he is, because he's got too much dirt on other people. We've seen it with Epstein, and we're seeing it again here. And with Savile, it's a very similar story.
Yeah, it's the same old, it's a different player, but it's the same pantomime. Listen, we got to take a break. We're at the halfway mark of the show already here. My, how time flies when you're having fun. Leave us a message in the live chat. We'll be back in a minute or two on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.